Welcome to the Seeking Certainty podcast, where advice starts with your best interests in mind, helping you achieve more in your financial life. And now, here's your host, founder of the Certainty Advice Group, Jim Stackpool.
G'day everybody, Jim Stackpool from Certainty Advice Group. With another in our podcast series, Certainty Series we call it, where we aim to help as many Australians as possible be as confident, particularly in these times, about the financial path they're on. Our advisors from all over Australia follow Australia's very first standard of advice. It's built firstly upon being comprehensive. We don't believe that the cure of a part should be attempted without treating the whole of the client. But more importantly, secondly, only remunerated by you, not conflict perceived or real from being paid by a product provider. And also the advice is double-checked against standards tabled with the ACCC IP Australia, which ensures that regardless if you're seeing a Certainty advisor in Cairns or Carnarvon or Caringbah, you can get a consistent standard for your own unique situation, which is important for most of us, particularly in these extraordinary times. So today's topic, finding your best possible steps beyond COVID-19. It's certainly turned everyone's life up and or down a little bit. Financially, it's tipped us mentally, it's tipped us physically, but fundamentally it's affected us all. So everyone faces new situations. Some of us face potentially long-term changes of circumstances, but we've all faced and reacted behaviorally different to it. And even post-lockdown, uncertainties remain. Not much is known about this disease, whether second peaks will come and what that will affect the economy and our jobs, whether immunity ensures long-term. The more I read, the more I don't know, but some are even suggesting we won't feel comfortable in the big shopping malls again. Some people will emerge from this lockdown short of money, meaning it becomes much, much more important to them. And that'll have knock-on effects for everyone down the whole money chain. We'll come back in a couple of years' time. Even the head of Boeing has predicted this week we'll be back to normal in 3 years, he says. But the key thing now is how to react. So what this series is about, I'm talking to Certainty advisors about what are our best steps forward. And today I'm lucky to have Neil Watson and Stuart Copeland from the Planning Room in Cameray here in Sydney. Planning Room specializes in looking after families, small business owners, empty nesters, retirees, really anyone looking for valuable advice who doesn't have the time, the interest, the knowledge to ensure each step is financially the right one for them right at the moment, but seeks a confident relationship to ensure what they need to do. Now, as I speak to Neil and Stuart, things to listen out for: why is financial planning conversations focusing on money a flawed? And also listen to the other thing, why advice has to be more based upon financial behaviors, not just financial reserves, cash flows, and structures. But I started by asking Stuart and Neil, what are the issues Australians should be talking to their advisors about in these times to ensure they're on the right possible path forward?
I'll field that one, if that's okay, Jim. I think that it's been a process that we've gone through, both Stuart and I, as business partners, looking at how traditionally financial planning was delivered to clients. And we kind of thought, you know, this is flawed. Everything seems to start and end in a product. And it was not what we wanted to do. And what we wanted to do was to look at our clients more holistically and really dig a bit deeper and see what value we could truly add to not only their lives, but their families and really get to understand our clients and get to know them.
Okay. Because it has been said that financial planning is really only for the rich who can afford it, with only about 20% or less of Australians using financial planners and advisors. So is this to try and broaden the appeal of financial planning to a broader group of Australians? Or
look, ideally, it is to broaden the number of Australians that will actually seek advice. Because I think there's this, the financial planning industry per se has had a lot of negative press and creates a lot of negative connotations in Australians' minds. And what we want to do, we want to take it to the public and show where we can actually add value to them. Because if you're just selling product, that's not what financial advice is. That's selling widgets, and that's not the business we're in. We're about adding value.
And so, Stuart, what are some of the situations that when you do go, you and Neil go deep, what are some of the situations you uncover amongst your clients?
So, Jim, I guess some of the situations we're uncovering, which we maybe wouldn't previously, A lot of it comes down to, I think, the behavioural aspects, because they can be a big part of the planning process, and how they deal with money and their attitudes to money and what their history with finances has been can have a big impact on their financial future, we're finding. I know we met with a client recently, and they appear to have a bit of an avoidance attitude. They're doing quite well financially, but they really are just avoiding dealing with a lot of issues, and identifying that and being able to uncover that we think is going to help put them on a better path, because we're aware of it and we'll be able to guide them in a much better way.
And without disclosing anything, of course, but what sort of avoidance issues did you find?
Look, just in talking to him, we uncovered a lot of gaps in areas that they hadn't looked at. Their estate planning hadn't been looked at. Their tax, they hadn't done tax for a while. They'd been avoiding sort of notices that were coming through. And it was partly down to time, but also partly down to, look, I just, when I think about it and when I want to put in the work in, I'll always find something better to do, or I'll always find a way or a reason to just put it off.
How common do you think this is, that when people are faced with something that might be a bit difficult or not at all enjoyable, I imagine, not everyone likes doing tax. How common do you think this is, that just because I'm busy or I can distract myself, I can put that sort of stuff off?
Look, I think it's fairly common. We do see it to varying degrees. Some people obviously avoid it better than others. But because a lot of people aren't interested in it, it can be confusing. It's not what you're comfortable with, and so it's easier to just push it away than sort of face up to it and deal with it.
And so you both brought this issue up, you both addressed the issue, you've obviously worked through the issue. What was the value the client is now saying to you as a consequence of facing this too difficult issue in the past now? What sort of feedback are you getting?
Well, it's really about, getting everything sorted for them and giving them that peace of mind that they don't have to avoid it, that it is taken care of, and that they're really able to move forward from that. It kind of holds them back a little bit, I think, when they're not willing to face up to it. And so once you identify it and address it, it allows them to move forward and maybe be in a better position to chase some of those bigger aspirations and goals.
And so when you say it holds them back, you're saying it holds them back to achieve what they want to achieve. Is that what you mean?
Yeah, that's right.
I would also like to interject here, Jim, that this particular client who Stu's talking about came to us because he had $10,000 that he wanted to invest in something for his 3-year-old daughter. So he came to us with a specific, this is what I want you guys to do. And we took him through the whole process of certainty. And now he's in a totally different position, and he says his world has changed.
And is that too common? Is that also common, I should say, Neil, when it sounds like in both these instances with this particular case, the client has come in specifically on an issue, but it seems that the planning room's approach is to treat the whole client as compared to just take a part of it. How do the clients react when you sort of broaden that conversation beyond what they've initially walked in to meet you about?
So sometimes the feedback, you go, hang on, what are you asking these kind of questions for? And once we use different analogies, like if you went to your doctor and he didn't perform the proper medical tests, would you be going back to see that doctor again? And we kind of position ourselves as the people who want to look at you holistically, dig deeper. We want to find out more about you. And the product is the what, and we think it's fundamentally important to find out what their why is, dig into that and see what makes them tick and see what makes them happy and what their longer term view of their goals and aspirations are.
But I guess you're coming also from an industry where it's been projecting its wares and values in what it does. This saves you a lot of money. This loan enables you to get a cheap interest rate. This investment return beats the rest. And they have been advertising the whole industry as a look at our product and what it can do for you. But you're saying it's the opposite. Is that right? When you talk about what you've just called the client's why?
Yeah, so we're certainly not going to be getting involved in any races to the bottom, because that's totally flawed.
So what do you mean race to the bottom?
You base everything on price. We base our proposition on value. If all you've got is a price, well, I don't think you've got a proposition that will engage a client long term. I think it's got to be valuable to them. They've got to recognize the value. They've got to see the value. Obviously, a product typically will pop out, and we will use a product, but we don't take any remuneration from fund managers or insurers. The only person we get paid for is the client when we represent value to them.
So it sounds like that particular example, I imagine you've got others, that clients are walking in to see the planning room with a specific issue, a specific technical requirement to invest money for a child or whatever it might be. But you're very deliberate in your taking a client across to engage much broader than that, and the clients are seeing the value of it. Any particular clients that don't react well to that?
Of course, we're going to get people who want a specific task and they're not interested in engaging in a broader proposition, and we're more than happy to point them in the direction of somebody who does exactly just that, who will be an order taker, who will deliver a product, and if that's what they want, they probably shouldn't be speaking with the planning group.
Okay, so two last questions for you then. So in these times when probably a lot of people's lives have been turned a bit upside down, physically and maybe mentally and potentially even financially with COVID-19, this approach that you'll provide at the planning room to talk about all the issues that are going on in your lives, is that uncovering more stuff than maybe pre-COVID-19, or is it about the same?
Look, it's a good question. I think it's uncovering about the same, maybe some slightly different fears and concerns, but at the moment, for most of our clients, they have been impacted, but we don't yet know the long-term impact for a lot of these changes. So a lot of the issues and the complexities in their lives are the ones they carried into the COVID outbreak, if you know what I mean. It's always interesting what you uncover in some of these when you dig a little bit deeper. And I think sometimes it surprises a client too when you come up with questions that uncover maybe some issues that they hadn't thought about or hadn't realized were there, or, you know, I think that can open up really good conversations with them.
Okay. If someone's listening to this now and they're saying, hang on, you know, I'm too busy to look after my tax or get around to figure out how I can leave something for daughter or granddaughter or whatever the example is, or I'm not confident either with my financials, I'm not too sure. How confident are those that might be listening to this? That conversation might end up to be valuable for them. There's a way forward to overcome that lack of confidence or lack of ability or desire. How to actually know that that's going to be a valuable conversation for them?
Yeah, look, I think like most things, when you avoid them, they tend to get worse. What we found is when we've been able to help clients through these sort of issues and complexities and take control and get their affairs in order in the right way, you know, there's a lot of value in that. There's a lot of peace of mind. There's a lot of weight off the shoulders that you may not have even known they were holding, but it really does free them up to then, you know, have more capacity and more ability to look at some of these bigger aspirations and goals that may have been holding back from. And sometimes it's a case of uncovering and giving them permission to look at these bigger, grander goals that they had, be it from, you know, buying the house or moving or changing employment. And we've had a bit of feedback from clients about that through the discussions and through getting everything organized, that they've been able to realize that just what the potential they do have financially to achieve some of these goals.
And so last point then, if someone's listening to this, they've just been too busy running their family, running their life, running their business, whatever it might be. What would you be saying to those sort of people to reconsider that there are options and there is value maybe out there, that belief they've had that I'm just too busy or I'm not interested? What would you say to them to sort of make that step to say, look, do something about that?
I think procrastination is always going to be the enemy. And I think to sit down with somebody who's a certainty advisor, they will dig deeper into your own position. They only have your interests at heart. They will charge an appropriate fee for the value that's represented in the... And everything's always set out when we give a terms of engagement. So the initial meeting is complimentary. The cost is absorbed by the business. Typically from there, we'll set out an advice path, which gives you the greatest probability of achieving what you want to achieve. And that's typically what's most important to our clients.
Because I think a lot of people would be looking at financial services and financial planning industry as a place just to buy a product. Without any connection to product at all, you're coming from a totally different perspective with that conversation. And they'll only pay if it's of value to them.
Indeed, Jim. And, you know, the financial planning of yesterday will look totally different to what the financial planning of tomorrow will be. And the certainty advice will be the future of financial planning, in my opinion.
There you have it, Neil Watson and Stuart Copeland from The Planning Room here in Cameray in Sydney. Well, what was your take from that? I took three things from that. First of all, is this fundamental clear understanding that our behaviours has much more effect on our financial well-being rather than simply the performance of funds or the fees that funds are charging. Whilst they're important and often they've been a headline for so long, but left untreated, it's our behaviours, like as Stuart shared, the person avoiding necessary maintenance and necessary issues that had significantly more impact on their financial life and situation than simply just fees and products. Not saying fees and products are not important, but behaviours and sometimes as the planning room go about ensuring they understand these just as much as trying to minimise fees and ensure good performing product. Second thing I picked up, with this, if we miss these connections in our financial lives, it can be quite dangerous. So the avoidance issue itself, it wasn't really set out to be avoidance, but it was more due to confusion, which wasn't helped because they just didn't have the lack of time, nor the knowledge, or even the interest, as it appears. So easily untreatable, one situation by just confusion or lack of time can actually lead potentially to a disaster, a time bomb in someone's financial life. So these connections are really important to understand and have an advisor to talk you through it. Thirdly, it's interesting to note that these are almost new conversations people are having with their advisor, the ones that Neil and Stuart are having with their clients. And they're surprisingly revealing for both the advisor and the client. It seems that COVID-19 is amplifying things, potentially, as about what we may have been putting off or what has really been stressful before can actually be even more stressful in the new financial reality. So in these times, as Stuart says, people like to keep control. They like to obtain peace of mind for themselves. And it's important to have them and as little financial weight on our shoulders as possible as we step forward post COVID-19. So our advice to you, as always, is to find an advice who's unconflicted. As we say, certainly advisors adhere to Australia's highest standards that's checked every piece of advice they do to ensure that whilst it's obviously unique for you, it's also meeting our standards of having no conflict whilst being comprehensive. So thanks to Neil Watson and Stuart Copeland from The Planning Room, a great advisory firm in Cameray, just north of the Harbour Bridge, providing great quality, unconflicted advice. And that's what we do all over Australia. Love to get your feedback. Thank you for listening. Jim Stackpole, cheering, signing out for now. Thanks.
Thank you for listening to the Seeking Certainty podcast with Jim Stackpool. To access all the materials from today's show or to join in the conversation, head on over to seekingcertainty.com. Please let us know what you think. We'd love to hear your feedback. Seekingcertainty.com.